And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Star Wars fans have defied warnings they were breaching God's law by attending the first film to be shown in a public cinema on the Isle of Lewis on a Sunday. All 183 tickets were sold for the showing of The Last Jedi, the latest installment of the space saga, at the Anne Lanterre Arts Venue in Stornoway. Others attended a workshop which involved building a model Death Star. Two protesters turned out the cinema, with a woman holding a placard urging the cinema-goers to keep Sundays holy on the Sabbatarian Isle off the west of Scotland. The other protester, the Reverend David Fraser of the Free Church of Scotland, argued that they should repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. David Green, the chairman of the venue's board, said some staff had faced pressure from their families over the move, but argued that no one should be able to dictate to the others what they can and what they cannot do. The island was traditionally staunchly Presbyterian, and its observance of the Sabbath was so strict there was a time when play park swings were chained up at dusk on Saturdays. This has been diluted in recent years with the first commercial flight landing at Stornoway Airport in 2002 and the island's ferries operating on Sundays since 2009, despite fierce protests. Campaigners have raised the funds for a trial opening, but leisure facilities, including a swimming pool and a sports centre, remain closed on Sundays in observance of the Sabbath. Teeing off on Sundays is banned at the Stornoway Golf Club under a historic clause in the lease with community landlord, although a recent survey showed overwhelming support for it to be allowed. Anne Lanterre has Lewis's only cinema and will open on the last Sunday of the month until March as a trial. More than half the tickets for next month's Sunday film, the Pixar animation Coco, have already been sold. The venue conducted a survey showing a significant majority backed the change, but the Reverend Fraser, 78, said, "This is a serious breach of God's law. The Sabbath is to be kept holy. People are forgetting about higher things and going against the Christian tradition of our island heritage and culture. There should be freedom of choice within the limits of respect of the religion and culture here." He added, "We are making our convictions clear. We are not trying to block people going in, but making clear what we believe in and that they should be seeking their own salvation and God's ways. Spending Sunday in a cinema is not God's way." But Mr. Green said, "We have really been careful to do this in the least disruptive or offensive way. It is about a quiet afternoon for families. How we continue, and if we continue, with this will be decided at the end of the trial. The only regret I have is that some members of staff have been put under pressure over this. Some have family members who have objections for cultural or religious reasons, but no member of staff has been forced to work on a Sunday." Harry Wood Proops, 37, a therapist who attended the showing with his two children, said, "I think it's fantastic. If people don't want to go to church, they should be allowed to go to the cinema. I think quite a lot of people want this to happen. Nobody is going to stop people observing the Sabbath. I cannot understand why people cannot accept choice. Live and let live, I say." One of Asia's most senior Catholic leaders has accused the Vatican of selling out the church by pursuing a rapprochement with Beijing while the Chinese government cracks down on religious freedom. Cardinal Joseph Zen, the outspoken 86-year-old former bishop of Hong Kong, hand-delivered protests from two Chinese bishops to Pope Francis early this month after a Vatican delegation ordered them to make way for replacements picked by Beijing. The issue of bishop appointments has been a stumbling block in talks between Beijing and the Vatican to try to establish diplomatic relations. The Vatican is one of 20 remaining states that maintain diplomatic ties with self-governing Taiwan, which Beijing insists is part of China. "Do I think that the Vatican is selling out the Catholic Church in China? Yes, definitely, if they go in the direction, which is obvious from all they are doing in recent years and months," Cardinal Zen wrote in a blog post. The Vatican on Tuesday rebuked the senior cardinal, who said its diplomats were selling out. Chinese Catholics loyal to the Pope as part of a deal aimed at normalizing ties with Beijing's communists. In a sharply worded statement, Vatican said it was surprising and regrettable that some people in the church were fostering confusion and controversy. The statement, which did not name Zen, but which official Vatican sources said was prompted by the controversy he began, said it was surprising and regrettable that some were promoting a presumed difference of thought and action between Pope Francis and his top aides over China's tragedy. Chinese Catholics went underground during the bloody decades of Maoist rule and the Cultural Revolution, before religious practice was tolerated again in the early 1980s. In many parts of China, the underground congregations and those led by bishops appointed by Beijing have been reconciled since a 2007 letter from Pope Benedict to Beijing, with bishop appointment agreed upon by the Vatican and Beijing's Patriotic Association. In some areas, the rift still persists. There are 19 active underground bishops and 58 official bishops, not counting those who have retired, according to the Holy Spirit Study Center, which is part of the Catholic Diocese of Hong Kong. There is the baggage, the legacy, of many years of the underground church, or priests who recognize the party and those who do not, said Francesco Sisi, an expert on China-Vatican relations based in Beijing. It has not been solved, but is being solved. It is extremely important for the church to move on. The protest from Cardinal Zheng comes amid a general crackdown on religious practice in China outside the churches or mosques that are governed under the Patriotic Associations, which report to the Communist Party's United Front Work Department. Crosses have been removed from many Protestant churches that were constructed without permission, and house churches ordered to disband. The crackdown has included the foreign Catholic community in Beijing, which has lost one of the venues where Catholics previously met for English language mass. It was a terrifying phenomenon that continues to cast a shadow over certain parts of Europe even today. The Great Age of Witch Trials, which ran between 1550 and 1700, fascinates and repels in equal measure. Over the course of a century and a half, 80,000 people were tried for witchcraft and half of them were executed, often burned alive. And then the trials disappeared almost completely. Their appearance was all the more strange because between 900 and 1400, the Christian authorities have refused to acknowledge that witches existed, let alone try someone for the crime of being one. This was despite the fact that belief in witches was common in medieval Europe, and in 1258, Pope Alexander IV had to issue a canon to prevent prosecutions. But by 1550, Christian authorities have reversed their position, leading to a witch hunt across Christendom. Many explanations have been advanced for what drove the phenomenon. Now new research suggests there is an economic explanation, one that is relevant to the modern day. Economists Peter Leeson and Jacob Russ of George Mason University in Virginia argued that the trials reflected non-price competition between the Catholic and Protestant churches for the religious market share. As competing Catholic and Protestant churches vied to win over or retain their followers, they needed to make an impact, and witch trials were the battleground they chose. Or as the two academics put it in their paper, to be published in the new edition of the Economic Journal, leveraging popular belief in witchcraft, witch prosecutors advertised their confessional brand's commitment and power to protect citizens from worldly manifestations of Satan's evil. They reached their conclusion after drawing on analyses of new data covering more than 43,000 people tried for witchcraft in 21 European countries. The data shows that witch hunts took off only after the Reformation in 1517, following the rapid spread of Protestantism. Leeson and Russ argue that for the first time in history, the Reformation presented large numbers of Christians with the religious choice: stick with the old church or switch to the new one. And when churchgoers have religious choice, churches must compete, they say. The phenomenon reached its zenith between 1555 and 1650, the years when there was peak competition for Christian consumers, evidenced by the Catholic Counter-Reformation, during which Catholic officials pushed back against Protestant successes in converting Catholics to the new ways of worshipping throughout much of Europe. The new analyses suggest that the witch craze was most intense where Catholic-Protestant rivalry was strongest. Churches picked key regional battlegrounds, they say, much like the Democrat and Republican parties in the US now focus on key states during the presidential election. This explains why Germany, ground zero for the Reformation, lay claim to nearly 40% of all witchcraft prosecutions in Europe. Scotland, where different strains of Protestantism were in competition, saw the second highest level of witch hunts, with a total of 3,563 people tried. In contrast, Spain, Italy, Portugal and Ireland, each of which remained a Catholic stronghold after the Reformation and never saw serious competition from Protestants, collectively accounted for just 6% of Europeans tried for witchcraft, Russ observed. By around 1650, however, the witch frenzy began its precipitous decline, with prosecutions for witchcraft virtually vanishing by 1700. Leeson and Russ attribute this to the Peace of Westphalia, a series of treaties in 1648, which brought to a close to the 30 Years' War and ended decades of religious warfare in Europe. But the use of terror to impress a message on the population has not abated, they suggest. The phenomenon we document, using public trials to advertise superior power along some dimension as a competitive strategy, is much broader than the prosecution of witches in the early modern Europe, Leeson says. It appears in different forms elsewhere in the world, at least as far back as the 9th century all the way up to the 20th, and Stalin's show trials in the Soviet Union. Israeli archaeologists unveiled on Monday a 2,700-year-old clay seal impression which they said belonged to a biblical governor of Jerusalem. The artifact, inscribed in an ancient Hebrew script as belonging to the governor of the city, was likely attached to a shipment or sent as a souvenir on behalf of the governor, the most prominent local position held in Jerusalem at the time, the Israel Antiquities Authority said. The impression, the size of a small coin, depicts two standing men, facing each other in a mirror-like manner and wearing striped garments reaching down to their knees. It was unearthed near the plaza of Judaism's Western Wall in the Old City of Jerusalem. It supports the biblical rendering of the existence of a governor of the city in Jerusalem 2,700 years ago, an Antiquities Authority statement quoted excavator Shlomit Wexler Bedola as saying. Governors of Jerusalem, appointed by the king, are mentioned twice in the Bible, in 2 Kings, which refers to Joshua holding the position, and in 2 Chronicles, which mentions Maaseiah in the post during the reign of Josiah. And finally, black-clad protesters in southern Athens have torn down a red sculpture shaped like an angel and broke its wings in a fresh act of violence against an artwork critics liken to Satan. Protests against the 8-meter-high sculpture called Phylax, which in Greek means guardian, have ranged from throwing white paint and spitting at it to attempting to exorcise it with a Greek priest sprinkling holy water. It was displayed in early December in a busy area in the coastal suburb of Paleofaliro. Protesters have included some residents, religious conservatives, and supporters of far-right political groups. Late on Wednesday night, a group of 10 to 15 hooded persons tied it to the back of a truck and drove away pulling it down. They are going to have a devil of a job to fix it. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.